This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. Beginning in the late 60s, Hollywood made a spate of black action films that drew big national audiences. Lots of those movies, Superfly, Shaft, Foxy Brown, are still very popular. But one black film has escaped most attention. The Spook Who Sat by the Door appeared briefly in 1973 and then disappeared into film lore. Now it's resurfaced on a 30th anniversary DVD release. Day to Day's Karen Grigsby Bates has the story.
In 1965, Sam Greenlee had just returned to the United States from several years in the Foreign Service as an officer with the U.S. Information Agency. The anti-colonial movements in many African countries convinced Greenlee that eventually there would be similar grassroots resistance by black Americans. When the Watts riots, Greenlee prefers rebellion, occurred, Greenlee says he saw his prophecy coming true.
Because I knew that armed struggle was coming. I had been in revolutionary and post-revolutionary situations for approximately 8 years when I was a member of the Foreign Service. I came back briefly after I resigned, and the Watts Rebellion broke out. And I saw that as just one in a series of those things coming.
When he returned to the U.S. for good, Greenlee penned a novel about a black man hired by the CIA to become a covert operative, or spook in CIA parlance. The Spook Who Sat by the Door became a movie in 1973. Even the title, a double entendre of the CIA term and racial slur, made some people nervous, says New York Times film critic Elvis Mitchell.
The Spook Who Sat by the Door, its politics were right there in the title, and let alone the rest of the movie.
The title character was the pointedly named Dan Freeman, a former Chicago gang member who allows himself to be recruited by the CIA. The CIA thinks it's getting a token. Dan Freeman, however, stays just long enough to acquire knowledge he can take back to the black community and use against the powers that be. After 5 years, he returns to Chicago and begins working with young gang members. In this scene, Dan Freeman is lecturing his new recruits on a surefire method to gain entree into cloistered corporate environments in order to steal critical information.
Remember, a black man with a mop, tray, or broom in his hand can go damn near anywhere in this country, and a smiling black man is invisible.
The idea of using information filched from powerful white institutions to bring down those same institutions was considered revolutionary. Author Sam Greenlee.
There was a premise for revolution, and I've got a right to say that if I want. And they don't have a right to suppress it, although they did.
The film vanished from theaters almost overnight, causing Greenlee and many involved in the film to suspect studio interference. Part of that isn't surprising, considering the studios got a very different film from what they'd been expecting. Director Ivan Dixon says he acquired last-minute financing for the film by showing studio bosses what he thought they wanted to see.
We took the action footage and took it around the studios to make them feel that they had a blaxploitation film. And the one who bought was United Artists.
Dixon says when United Artists screened the finished product and saw a Panavision version of Political Armageddon, they were stunned.
Well, they all almost broke into tears at the first screening. They were frightened and scared about it and didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Elvis Mitchell says the studio quickly realized it had made a huge error.
It is the first time that kind of politic and action were combined in a movie in an American commercial sense, one of the rare times that has happened, and definitely the first time it ever happened in an African-American film. And the fact is that it did scare the releasing studio, United Artists, who essentially sort of handed it back to Sam Greenlee because they didn't know what to do with it.
So The Spook Who Sat by the Door became a footnote in cinematic history. Lawrence Cook, the film's lead, worked sporadically ever after and died in obscurity in late 2003. Author Sam Greenlee says he's been the victim of government harassment ever since. Although there is no concrete proof of a government or industry campaign to suppress the film, its disappearance has only added to Spook's legend. Tim Reed, founder of Millennium Studios in Richmond, Virginia, remembers being impressed with the film in his youth, and he spent years trying to locate a copy of it to negotiate re-release rights.
It's an important film to me and many people of my generation. It came about at a very interesting time in our lives. You know, Dr. King had been assassinated. It was an interesting time for a film like this to come out. And we were certainly disheartened at its quick demise in terms of being pulled from the theaters and hidden away in a vault.
The hidden-in-a-vault stories are part of the film's allure, says Elvis Mitchell.
I'm teaching a class at Harvard, and I'm planning on showing it. And it's a movie that when I mentioned it in one of my first lectures, there were murmurs in the class. It already has a reputation, I think because, in fact, of the rumors that spread so much about it that it had been suppressed. The picture has a mystique, and there's nothing like being unavailable that will make a movie very, very desirable to the kids.
Or to anyone who wants to steep themselves in the energy and chaos of those times. For Day to Day, I'm Karen Grigsby Bates.